Three competing budget proposals seem to be shaping up for 2018. The White House's so-called skinny budget with its deep civilian agency cuts, and those of Democrats and other Republicans in Congress. For some predictions about the effect of President Trump's proposal on contracting, Federal News Radio's Eric White checked in with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners.
I think that the budget set a macro level outline of where the president wants to take spending, and from that macro level, there weren't a lot of surprises. Defense spending would go up quite a bit, and at the same time, civilian agencies outside of the Department of Homeland Security would go down, particularly agencies like Interior and EPA would absorb double-digit cuts. It's a nice place to start, but I don't think that any listener should think that this is where we're going to end up.
Do you think that the Trump administration is trying to sort of return to the Reagan era where we see, you know, we talk bad about regulators, but let's increase the amount of defensive bureaucrats that we have?
Well, I think there's a comparison to be made. The one that I think is a little bit closer is we're going to spend money on the things we think we need to spend money on, whether it's defense or infrastructure. And by extension, we're not going to worry so much about deficits, which is, you know, a classic Reagan-era approach. We saw defense spending increase over that time, but budget deficits also increased. Clearly, this is a path that the Trump team is comfortable going down, at least at this juncture. While at the same time trying to do the things that the president said he was going to do on the campaign trail, curtail regulatory state where he believes that it impinges upon the business of business.
Are there any red lines that you think certain members of Congress won't let him cross for, you know, as far as cuts that he wants to make?
Oh, I think there are at least as many red lines as there are members of Congress. There are significant programs that even Republican members want to have because they bring benefits to their districts. That means jobs, that means revenue, better quality, some of those communities that are directly tied to programs. We've seen some rank-and-file House members say they're behind some of the proposals, say, in places like this. Because of that, I think that not really a full blueprint, but the outline, rather, indicates to go, but there's going to have to be a lot of horse to go in any general direction that the president wants to here. And while I think that the budget and spending will go somewhat in the president's direction, to be nearly to the extent that we've seen in the documents released so far.
Any specific programs that you can think of off the top of your head that the president might bat heads with Republicans on?
Nothing specific, but I have to tell you, if there are some specific things that are in, say, the state of Wisconsin, where the speaker is from, that are of benefit to people in Wisconsin, those are going to be tough politically to cut. And if you're running up against the opposition from your own party, ultimately, you're not going to have the votes to get past what you want to implement. So, again, you're going to have some things you're willing to trade for in order to go in the general direction you want to go in.
We're speaking with Larry Allen from Allen Federal Business Partners. Let's switch gears here a little bit to customer engagement that you said that, or in your recent blog post, that you've been impressed with the General Services Administration Southwest Regional Office in regards to their emphasis on the subject. What did you see that you liked from them?
Well, there are a couple of things that have been going on. The Greater Southwest Region at GSA recently had one of its periodic vendor meetings, and during that time, they talked about the fact that they want to work with industry to engage the common federal customer. This really gets back to a mantra that people in the Washington office of GSA were chanting in the 1990s, a time when the GSA Schedules program grew substantially, where GSA's contracting business in IT grew, where we saw the development of programs that today are Alliant and Oasis, but some of the precursors had their start in the 1990s when the agency leaders were viewing industry partners as partners and not as adversaries. And I think that's one of the reasons why the note coming out of Fort Worth sounded so welcoming to people in industry. And on top of that, there was a discussion that GSA's own customer service directors had with industry during this conference in Fort Worth that said, look, we do want to go back and start to re-engage our customers. We want to talk specifically about the Multiple Award Schedules program, which is the largest GSA acquisition program. And it just sounded a very positive partnership note with the realization that GSA succeeds when its business partners succeed, and together they can drive good solutions for federal buyers, and that by extension, when they're not working together, when they're at loggerheads, they're not serving the common customer as well as they could be.
What was the reason for that that idea or attitude kind of taking a back seat?
Well, I think there's been a lot of emphasis in central GSA over the last couple of years about trying to flatten prices on schedule, and we've had a very price-driven discussion, at least coming from the central office in GSA and other parts, but central office certainly has been leading it, where the idea was that contractors are charging us too much. There may have been outlying contractors who charged more, but there are over 10,000 schedule contract holders, and I don't think anyone would believe that the great majority of them, or even a great minority of them, would be out to try to stick it to a federal customer. You can do that once in a while, but you're not going to succeed over time because there's just too much competition out there. So the reason we got away from working together was because there was a loss of trust between GSA and its industry partners, and a lot of that had to do with a belief that contractors across the board were not offering fair and reasonable pricing.
Could more engagement mean more transparency, and obviously that would lead to more trust?
I think you're on the right track. I think anytime you have more trust, you have more communication. When you have more communication, you have better understanding of each side's position, and it's meaningful communication as well, not just a group of people standing up and saying, we think you charge too much. That's not communication. But I think that in a different environment where you have legitimate two-way discussions, everybody gets closer to a common position. There's more of a foundation there, and that's a foundation that you can work to build business on, whether you're GSA or an industry partner.
Do you see the tactic being only, I guess I would say, worth it for large contracts like OASIS and Alliant, or would you be happy to see it go through smaller contracts even?
Oh, I think it can go through smaller contracts. One of the things I was writing about was that, look, the people in Fort Worth, when they're talking to schedule contractors, are sounding the right note, but a great example of how GSA is already doing this is with OASIS and Alliant. If the rest of the Federal Acquisition Service adopted the operating model that OASIS and Alliant has, where they have quarterly meetings, they have quarterly evaluations and reviews, there's a much more of an understanding that people are working together towards a common goal. Everybody has their role, but I think the Alliant and OASIS blueprints and some of the things that are starting to come out of Fort Worth have the potential to reset the tone for the Federal Acquisition Service and reset it in such a way that they can drive more business and better outcomes for federal agencies.